Unveiling the secrets A-list copywriters use to make themselves and their clients millions. This is the Copywriters Podcast with your host, the world's greatest copywriting coach, David Garfinkel.
It's a full-blown crisis. As if writing copy weren't hard enough, now there's a new demand falling on the plates of copywriters more and more. And while maybe it isn't fair, it is real. And it's important that you know about it and know what to do about it. Good news, we've got just the person to explain what it is and how to come out ahead, looking like $1 million and being a hero, whether you wear a cape or not. The crisis is one of design. These days, just as more and more is being expected of copywriters on the word and strategy side, so is more being expected on the design side. And that doesn't mean you have to be a full-fledged designer to get copy jobs, because you don't. But you do need to know your way around what a well-designed ad or web page looks like. And there are details you need to be able to understand and offer ideas about. Our very special guest today and returning champion is Lori Haller of Designing Response. She is here to sort it out and straighten it all out for you. Lori works side by side with many of the greatest copywriters of our time to help create control-beating packages for clients like Boardroom, Healthy Directions, Dr. Al Sears, NutriHealth, KCI Communications, and Agora. She's coached clients around the world, and she's an in-demand speaker and trainer. I've only scratched the surface of Lori's incredible and long list of credentials. You'd be hard-pressed to find someone who knows more or who has done more in regard to what we're going to talk about today. Her company, Designing Response, is based in Germantown, Maryland, and has built a reputation for creating award-winning, sales-generating direct mail, online promotions, space advertising, and product development. She knows from up-to-date information in the field what are the new design demands and expectations being placed upon copywriters. And she will talk about that today, right after I talk about this. Copy is powerful. You're responsible for how you use what you hear in this podcast, and most of the time, common sense is all you need. But if you make extreme claims, and or if you are writing copy for offers in highly regulated industries like health, finance, and business opportunity, you may want to get a legal review after you write and before you start using your copy. My larger clients do this all the time. So, Lori, welcome, and thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, David, thank you guys for inviting me again. It's great to be here.
Okay, well, why don't we dive into this now? Because more than ever, copywriters have to think like designers. And once you can, you will become incredibly important to clients. Could you talk about that? What do copywriters have to do now that they didn't have to do? Just give us the big picture.
Yeah, David, you're absolutely right. And we've discussed this many times, and you'll hear me speaking about this on other projects and whatnot. But all of us actually need to come to the table with four or five hats on now, just because what's transpiring in our world. So as a copywriter, whether you're just starting out, maybe you're a business owner, maybe you're a seasoned copywriter, it's great to pack a powerful punch of being able to bring forward visualness into your copy and everything that you do. So we will talk about that with the use of photos today.
Okay, that's good. And writing copy versus copy thinking, you want to explain?
Yeah, you know, now if you can stabilize yourself and be able to come to the table while you're writing a copy, perhaps project over to more of the thinking about it. What does that reader need to see and feel and read and hear alongside of those words? Maybe it's near a product development paragraph, but try to think about visually, what would they, the audience, need to see in order to make them latch on, stay on, and continue, you know, as we've discussed, either down the page in a sales page, on a website, you know, social media. Yeah.
Right, because one of the things we're trying to do is make them do less thinking, make them connect fewer dots, and a picture can really help with that.
Right.
Could you drill down and talk about, like, how the right image will amplify and intensify the emotion that's already there with the words?
Right. So those emotions that you're trying to conjure up are so important. So say, for example, it's for joint pain. You know, right out of the gate, if you've said in your copy that, you know, this is unlike anything else, it has these couple of ingredients that are different, and now you can go back to doing things, you know, that you were longing to do for so long. If they see that photo of the, you know, realistic and trusted person, maybe playing tennis, reaching for a jar up really high, swinging their grandchild around, and placed with your copy, maybe a bottle of the particular supplement, you're going to conjure up those feelings and want them to learn more and go on down the page. Definitely helpful.
Okay, so that's a really good positive example. Let's do the flip side. Let's turn it upside down or turn it over. The negative example. What happens when the copywriter doesn't think visually, just starts describing things, doing more telling than showing, all of the mistakes people can make when they don't think visually?
This is a big problem because, as we've all known for decades, the moment the copy and the design latch on together and align with each other, so what you're saying is what you're seeing, whether it's a photo, a chart, a graph, a picture of the product, a book, the moment they can align together and get the same clear vision, that's when the magic starts happening. You'll drag them in. And, you know, on the other side of the coin, there will be serious confusion, and you can stop that just by thinking about what do you want them to feel right then at that point.
Okay. So let's talk about what we have the ability to do using images. How can the images support the copy?
Mm-hmm. The images can support the copy by, like, cueing in the reader to what is going on, and we can drag them down the page. I think we've talked about that a lot. So say you have somebody either looking right at you, I guess I'll test you on this, David. Somebody's looking right at you. The copy is talking about this person. Maybe it's a skincare line. Maybe you're seeing them with glowing skin. That spark right there will hold them on the page, and those eyes will draw them in. That's one tip that I'd love to give you, is, like, if you're choosing a photo or suggesting a photo, or even just reviewing something that a designer or a team has created using your copy, you want to always make sure it's a hot point to make sure the eyes are going directly out to the reader. It looks like a trusted and true, realistic, not over the top photo. You can really hold them on and draw them in and hold them down.
I have a question. I have noticed that I've seen an increase in response on pages where, if I want to draw people's eyes to a certain part of the copy, I have a photograph of the person looking at that specific part of the copy and not looking straight at the viewer. I wanted to get your take on that.
Oh, Nathan, that's a brilliant idea. Let's scooch back just for one moment, because if you're talking about something on a phone, don't forget it's this distance and kind of their posture. That's one thing that we go over immediately is it on a huge desktop? They're older people and they're looking at this big screen and able to go like this. But Nathan, you're absolutely right. So you have to be careful, like, if it is this width, if they're looking over here, you just want to make sure that maybe they're looking at some copy points or the product, but you never want either a book, photo of a book or a free report you're giving away, or a person, a whole bunch of people looking off like this, or even I've noticed some designers when they're first starting out, or copywriters, they'll choose a photo and it's a beautiful sunset or a yacht they bought with all these investment guru choices. They're looking at a sunset and their back is towards you. So Nathan, does that kind of tell you a couple little tips for some of your next choices?
Yeah, and one thing that I've noticed is when we do that, we have to take mobile and desktop into mind. On mobile, we'll have a picture of them looking off to the left where the copy is at. And then on desktop, we'll get the same person looking up because the picture will realign to underneath the copy. And that way we cover it from both angles.
That's a brilliant point. And additionally, don't forget, you don't always have to have a photo in a box or a shape. It can be a cutout. Maybe it's the particular fruit. Maybe coconut is involved in this new lotion. It can be a cutout instead of a static box, because now we're thinking, if it's in this phone shape, you don't want a box and a box and a box of copy and then a chart box. You really want to entice them, mix it up, keep them active and going down that page and clicking yes.
All right. That sounds good. Let's power through a mini course, a mini tutorial for copywriters on the psychology of color and visual codes and things like that.
Yeah, David, that's fantastic. So if you want to bring mystery to a page, perhaps you use darker colors. So dark and light colors give different feelings. For example, if it's a modern newfangled skincare line or product, you'll want to use bright, modern, lots of white, crisp feelings. Blue is wonderful for trust. And right now it seems like a medium blue. You know, maybe 10 years ago, a deep, rich, dark blue was used. Then we went into the teals and aqua. Make sure that you're staying on point with updated color trends, and you can easily find out what's going on online, because you never want to look outdated, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that'll make everything feel old and drab.
Okay, besides blue, which is a trust color, are there other visual codes, visual colors for different industries?
Yes, you know, we tend to lean a lot on green, either a bright green, a rich dark green for health products. A very deep, trusted green can be used for financial products. And let's see, I have used some yellows. This is something to be careful of. Sometimes yellows, like for example, a golf product, if those golfers are outside enjoying their day and you send them something, don't forget, if they're outside, they won't be able to read some bright and light colors. So we take all of that in consideration, and you can easily do that. Like you said at the beginning, it's all about just thinking, where is your customer? Who are they? What do they need to see and feel at this point?
So the copywriter, unless, I mean, I've only known two full-time copywriters, Ted Kokoler and I can't remember the other person's name, who were both copywriters and designers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there may be more, but most of us aren't. We're going to be, you know, designer adjacent or designer curious. We're going to support the designers. How do you do that? How do you work with a designer fully admitting that you're not the one who knows how to do this?
Yeah, well, first of all, I want to give everybody confidence. Like I said, it doesn't matter if you're just starting out or you've been doing this for 20 or 30 years. You can easily just take your copy document if you want. Here's one idea. And people will just interject little photos they find on the internet. And then many times, you know, you just write a little note. I was kind of thinking of a couple here. Maybe they're walking. I was thinking of this particular product shot here. It doesn't have to be fancy, and I'm positive. Every time I see something like that, it gives me the feeling of deep connection. You know, even if we haven't went on the kickoff call yet, I know and feel your copy. I've read it and I can see kind of what you're thinking, and that just excites the heck out of me. So you can do that. You can also just provide a sheet with a whole bunch of photos on it and maybe number them and coordinate them with your copy. And again, don't forget charts, graphs, cutouts, something interesting and odd, you know, that will really shake up the reader, keep them nailed down and reading, because there's so many things, as you know, out there right now. You want to be a standout. Do these sound helpful?
Yeah, and what I'm thinking is, as you're talking about this, is, you know, often copywriters will get words or ideas from clients or maybe from somebody on a team, and we'll take that and we'll migrate it into something we think will work. I imagine designers are the same way. So you don't have to give them the perfect photo or the exact chart. You just need to give them a place to start, as opposed to, the same blank page designers probably don't like any more than writers do.
You're exactly right. And one thing that I do want to spell out is that today, not only are we working on choosing that best shot, you know, that has these components in it, but we're looking for a real photo that feels real. It doesn't have those same two models in, you know, the photo that have been seen on every other competitive product launch. They're real and you can trust them. They're warm. And same thing goes for your books or your reports, anything you're showing.
You know, it's so interesting you say that. I mean, I'm one of those dinosaurs that still watches TV. Okay, I know a lot of people don't anymore. And I've noticed in the commercials, especially the younger people, they don't look attractive by 1970s, 1980s standards, you know? They may don't look ugly, but they kind of look ordinary or a little flawed. It's like this is the norm now. It's almost a strike against you if you have these model good looks.
Right, because no one can trust that. You want a real person. Like if it's a mother with a child and you're trying to sell this book on this particular tactic that you can use at home, you want it to be real. And I was going to say this trick. Say you're going in to find a photo and you're on a stock site or just online or using some kind of AI tool. You'll key it in and say there's 10,000 options. Well, one trick that I do is don't go to page one. At first, I will look at page one of all the photo options, but then I'll scooch on over to page 20 because you know what's happening. Everybody's in a rush. They're like, okay, here's a photo. Well, that photo.
Everyone uses the photos from page one, right?
Yeah, go to page 10,000, you know?
Yeah. Oh, that's a great tip.
Yeah. And really do some investigation. I think you and I talked about this as well. Look up other similar companies, see the types of photo they're using, and be aware of that. This thinking that you launched the call off with today is really important and will set you off from the rest, definitely.
Okay, that's good. So you have something called a Word document visual brief. Understanding, you know, writers, we may make a great effort, we may try, we may have some visual sense, but that does sound a little intimidating. What do you mean by a Word document visual brief?
Yeah, what you can do is just give an overview of feelings. Again, the feelings are coming up. The audience profile. These are mostly men, 70 and over. They've signed up for these other type of products. I'm hoping to attract them in this way. Any just little notes. It does not have to be fancy at all, David. And again, any designer will appreciate what's coming from your thinking. That's our goal, to be here.
Oh, so the visual brief doesn't need to have pictures on it. It just needs to describe something the designer can visualize.
Yes, sometimes copywriters will do that. Other times they will also add in some photos there. You can number them. There's no set way. Whatever works for you to get your needs and ideas across in any way that you can, just go for it. It's very helpful and much appreciated. Yeah. For that, like this.
Sure. Okay. So let's talk about visual symbols. I think this is something designers understand a lot better than most copywriters, because the symbol kind of concentrates a whole lot of meaning and value into a small space in a single image. Could you talk about that for a while?
Mm-hmm. I tend to call these, you know, if you've heard some of my other recordings, sprinkles. So they're not really a photo. It's not a video. It's not a chart or a graph. These are those extras. These can help you juice it up. How many times have you looked for maybe like a dentist and you're like, wow, these are all the same. Wow, this one over here has this gold seal. They're certified by the National Dental Association. So what you're looking for are little cues that can help credentialize and drive home trust. So it could be an American flag. So many of the companies I work with want to make it known, made in the USA. You can trust it. It's made right here in Chicago. Maybe it's some kind of a certificate border with a 100% money back guarantee seal. It's the credentialized, known or used in 10,000 homes today. Any of those items. And what you can do is look at big car companies, look at Apple, look at these, you know, huge companies that we see all day, every day succeeding, and kind of snoop around. It can be at the bottom in the footer, it can be sprinkled, but boy, I've even seen a copywriter on every sales page on the reply form add a smiley face, you know, something like that, whatever can set you apart. So look for those little, you can call them sprinkles too. And I highly advise the use of those as well.
Okay, you're probably not going to accept this, but I bet you're a better copywriter than some of the copywriters you work with. But I know you work with a lot of designers. Can you tell me what are some of their frustrations working with copywriters when they don't have as much of a copywriter-only vocabulary like you do?
Oh, yeah. So, you know, you mentioned at the beginning, I coach many teams and designers or writers, you know, to work together. But mostly, I would just give it your best shot. The worst thing is this. This is when it's like, oh, no, you know, uh-oh, mm-hmm. Time out. You get all the copy. As the designer, you know, you're reading it, understanding it. Maybe you're going to host the kickoff call. And perhaps the copywriter either has been too busy. I don't really know what goes on, but they're like, yeah, you know, just whatever you think. And that's helpful too, you know, if they're going to trust me. But boy, I know that, you know, most of the copywriters I work with, that copy and project, it's in their heart. They're going hard to sell or, you know, show whatever this product, service, device is. So us teaming up very intimately the whole time, that gives you that star power to really connect the copy and the design, the colors I choose, the width, the format, every single choice leans on that copy. And just even, it doesn't matter, don't be afraid to just key in some notions or say them during the meeting. It will definitely help tremendously.
Okay, so I know some of our listeners are very conscientious and they're really going to want to do the right thing. And they'd probably like to bone up on some basic design ideas and so they can get their design, copy design thinking and copy design vocabulary a little friendlier for designers. Can you suggest any steps or resources they might take?
Yeah, well, I would just give it a shot. I would give it a try and be confident But if you wanted to, you could always reach out to me on LinkedIn if you wanted to, under Lori Haller, and in the messaging. Many people know for years, you know, that I love to hear from people, and we could just hop on a call or something like that. You could show me something, but I think normally it's just that baby toe step. And hearing and feeling. I have some examples too of sometimes some tools I use, but getting that confidence and knowing that there's really no right or wrong, just use what your, you know, methodology is for copywriting and what you're hoping, your inspiration, and that normally rings true. Is that helpful, David?
Yeah, so I think what you're saying is it's not so much about subject matter knowledge as courage and being daring, willing to try.
Yeah, you really should try. I don't know many designers that I have met that aren't just wide open and ready for you to just share anything at all, and no judgment. You should be confident. And just spill the beans. Here's what I'm thinking. Here's my vision. I want to inspire you as the designer. Do you have any questions? You know, sometimes I will even set up a sheet and put blocks of colors on there. Like, what am I thinking? This beige, a lot of white, these blues in the logo. I'll put the logo on there. And even if I haven't seen the copy yet, I will just put some random photos in there with those color tones to inspire the copywriter. So you could even ask, hey, designer, or, you know, the lead, whoever you're dealing with, do you have any kind of a sheet that you want to give me for inspiration? I'm thinking of helping you by suggesting some photos. And I think they'd be really tickled about that.
Okay, that's really good.
Before we're out of here, I did want to make one note on something that you said earlier, the staying on top of color, design, stuff like that. I have a client that deals with ultra high net worth clients, and a few years back, it was the luxe noir design, the dark black and gold that really hit with that audience. Over the last year and a half, it has switched, and it's earth tones and light blues that are really connecting. And so we had to go through and redesign one of their websites because the market updated. And I wanted to know your thoughts on the importance of staying in touch with what's connecting with that particular or your particular market.
Oh, you spilled the beans right there. That is huge. Definitely the pale colors, a lot of white, because people just want to get on top of things and read, but then boom, you know, have those powerful visuals that hold you on and keep you, you know, down on the page. But you need to be, you know, aware. GQ is my number one source for color awareness in the whole world. Like, it could be for automotive, investing, watches, you know, anything. So that is a very easy to do, you know, little secret is just read something like that. You can view it online. But recently I had a copywriter presenting some little ads to me, and I was able to say, bravo, you. And I know at first he was like, what are you talking about? The woman in the ad had the red lip. That is known by women. These ads were two women. She also had the nail color, that is the hot nail color. If he would have projected some beige, you know, bright red on the nails or whatever, immediately the women, they would have immediately said, this is an old tired ad. Obviously this medical company has no idea. I'm not even going to trust them. So, Nathan, that sounds silly, right? But it's true, just like you said for your client.
Well, for that particular client, one of the magazines that I subscribe to is the Robb Report. And not specifically for the content itself, but just to see which ads are hitting, which ads are getting published month after month. And then I can know, oh, okay, this is the visual cues that this market is responding to. So subscribing to publications that your market is actively reading will give you a hint on what visual cues they're resonating with.
That's brilliant. And, you know, at least once a month, I go to the Home Depot and I look at all the new paint swatches, and they let you take them for free. So be aware, it's right there in front of you. And additionally, going to like Barnes & Noble, some kind of a big bookstore, you want to look at those book covers, the fonts, the titles, everything about the feeling there. It really takes you, you know, going out into the world, getting inspired, and know what people are used to seeing. And your investigations, bravo you for doing that. Right on point.
All right. Before we're out of here, do you have a website? I know you're active on LinkedIn. Where can people reach out and find more about you?
Yes, my website is LoriHaller.com. And I am on LinkedIn a lot at Lori Haller. And then my email is Lori@LoriHaller.com. You can also just hit me up there. And I'm excited for everybody to give some of these tips a shot.
All right.
See what happens.
All right. That's Lori, L-O-R-I, Haller, H-A-L-L-E-R. And we'll make sure to put links to those websites and your LinkedIn in the show notes. And thank you so much for coming back on and sharing this with us today.
Oh, you guys, it was simply my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thank you. It was great.
All right. Appreciate it. And to get those links in the show notes, head on over to copywriterspodcast.com. And until next time, we will catch you later.
Catch you later.
Stop using the hero's journey in your sales copy. My book, The Persuasion Story Code, will help you put together stories that convince your prospects and resolve their objections. If you are a copywriter, you'll appreciate that every single one of the 25 kinds of stories in this book have been proven time and time again in profitable sales copy. But I've also used these kinds of stories to close 5- and 6-figure deals for my own business, and so have many of my clients. These stories are easy to create and easy to tell. They sound like ordinary conversation, but they are all designed and proven to lead to a yes. You can get the Persuasion Story Code on Amazon.com. So get your copy today.